Okay, just a quick word about agenda. So, due to the pressures of time, so we'll allow today to finish this topic off, we're able to go to get to. And Sunday, I think probably we should talk a little bit about integrity, some of the structure of the week. Maybe also today, if we can squeeze in a few minutes, talk about how Zeno, maybe next two. We'll see what happens. And next week, we have slotted the sugya of Katsi Shir, sugya on Daf Ayin Dalet, which we're skipping to so because of its relevance to Yom Kippur. So we're interested in getting Yom Kippur related topics in. That's also particularly relevant to Yom Kippur, Shabbat, and Shabbos, even more specifically than Yom Kippur in general. So for those reasons, we're advancing that sugya to next week and then going back after Sukkot to a normal Seder where we were up to. So, that being said, today let's try to go a little further and add on to this topic of Shabbat Shabbos. So essentially what we laid out yesterday has to do with the following, that there is an obligation to add on to Shabbos and Yom Kippur, which according to most Rishonim is an obligation min ha-Torah. It's derived from a couple of possibilities, most prominently from the Pasuk which states that the fasting in Yom Kippur should take place on the 9th. And the Gemara notes that they seem to be off. We fast on the 10th of Tishrei. So the Gemara says, this is a source that we take a little bit from the Kol and add it to the Kodesh. We also mentioned that the Gemara elsewhere has a whole different structure from that. The obligation to eat and drink on Erev Yom Kippur is interesting how the two clash with each other. That's a little bit of a separate story, maybe we'll talk about it a little bit on Sunday in honor of Yom Kippur. So then we started talking about the fact that the Rambam may not agree to this whole story because the Rambam only acknowledges Tosefta's from the source that we see, only that you should start fasting early on Yom Kippur, doesn't talk about it applying to Tosefta's Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And there's a whole discussion that the Rambam acknowledges Tosefta's Shabbos and a level of Midrabbanan, many assume, or maybe not at all, because we don't talk about it at all. But most other Rishonim use these Tosefta Shabbos and Yantif by every Yantif and every Shabbos as a mitzvah min HaTorah. And now we're getting time in the middle, and hopefully with Rabbanan, and the Torah will apply it only to Yom Kippur. And then we start to talk about what's happening when you add on to Shabbos. What are you doing? So we mentioned first the ambitious school who says, apparently, you're actually adding on to Yom Tif and Shabbos. You're actually starting Shabbos early for all intents and purposes, except for Om Shin, which is quite a accomplishment. But if that's the case, we understand why you're doing it, because you're embracing Kedusha earlier. We see why that's something that's we sought after. While others didn't think that was possible, others thought that all you're doing is abstaining from Malacha during that time. Basically pretending to Shabbos. And the question is, are we too old for pretending? What are we trying to accomplish? So we saw that the Medrash, for one, has this idea that because we can't tell exactly when Shabbos comes in, we have to be mostly from the Shalva Kodesh, we have to start early, suggesting that it's some type of a safeguard, some type of a siyah, that we should come to the Shalva Shabbos by coming up too close to the border. So does that sound like it's a bit of Rabbana? Yes, it sounds like it. That could work well with the Rambam in that position. But, as we discussed yesterday, there is a strong possibility that a mitzvah can be in the Torah and still be termed as a siyag. We talked about it, Joseph Engel's extensive discussion about this, and therefore it is compatible to say that this is a din in the Torah, and yet, maybe there is a protective measure that's not less than being in the Halal Shabbos. So then we started to talk about how this may affect some things. We talked about the question of whether Simchas Yontif is applicable during the time of Tosefes. We saw that that's probably 2 days Sintosis in Subis, because the question came up there, can you get married during the time of Tosefes Yontif? You're not allowed to be married on Yontif, a married in Simcha the Simcha. So what about Tosefes? So that seems to be 2 days Sintosis, kind of reflecting these two possibilities. And then was also the question of, in terms of the practical mitzvahs of Shabbos, can you be Yotzei Sutta Shabbos during the time of Tosefes? So that was also 2 days in Tosefes in Pesachim, which dealt with the question of why the Mishnah says you have to wait till dark to for the Seder. And according to one answer in Tosfos, it's because you always have to read the Lord for Friday night also. And according to the other answer in Tosfos, Friday night you can eat early, Pesach is different because of special requirements of matzah, which requires lila, perhaps halakosos, we talked about that a little as well, about the practicalities of the Seder night, how it requires us to wait until fully dark for all of that. Sammy? Right, so it's acknowledging that possibility, and it's not necessarily holding it as the actual thing. Okay, maybe something to, I think the more Pasha tried to get a little bit, maybe something to say that. So then we also mentioned that the Ramah has been given by Sukkot as well, the relationship between Matzah and Sukkot, that you have an obligation to eat on Sukkot only after dark. So that extends, adds to our list. We mentioned that basically every Yontif has a port as far as Tosefis is concerned, so we've seen already in Kippur is the source. First night Sukkot may have a special rule. First night Pesach has a special rule. And Shabbos itself, as you see, was a machlokes 2 days in Tosfos about having this a little bit early. And, as we already explained yesterday, that comes out to a machlokes between the Taz and the Maharshal. That's a major path. There is at least three Tazes, maybe four, that are relevant to this whole story. That the Taz quotes the Maharshal, who says that Suda Shabbos has to be after dark. Because even if we bring Shabbos in early, so that's all very well and good, that we don't do the Lacha, but it doesn't mean that it's actually Shabbos for purposes of our Suda. And the Taz disagrees. The Taz maintains that since the Torah commanded us to bring in Shabbos early, so therefore the effect of our doing that is to actually convert the day into a different day, and now it's fully Shabbos, and no reason for you to worry about the Seder. We mentioned parenthetically as a practical point that if you want to be machmir for the Maharshal, it doesn't mean like Pesach at night that you can't do anything until dark. It means that you can still make Kiddush, your kids do whatever you like, and hear all the Divrei Torah and keep everything going. And then after dark, have a desire to get after dark to be machmir for this view. So it's less of a imposing chumrah than Pesach night, but that's what it would mean, presumably. So this debate between the Taz and the Maharshal, on the surface, seems to be this question. And if the Taz holds it's completely Shabbos, for all intents and purposes, again, except on Shin, so therefore, why not have your Suda Shabbos? While the Maharshal doesn't think it's really Shabbos yet, therefore, you can't yet fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. Parenthetically, you also mentioned a different approach where one could say it's not yet Shabbos and still find a way for you to have your Suda Shabbos yet. If we sign on to the idea that you can have a Suda in honor of Shabbos at a time that's not technically Shabbos, at a time that's adjacent to Shabbos, that would be a little bit strange to have it. Between the two, but basically between the Taz and the Maharshal, seems like that's how they line up. So this machlokes between them pops up in other settings as well. For example, so the next yantif after the first day of Sukkot is Shmini Atzeres. So when it comes to Shmini Atzeres, the Maharshal is another thing. The Maharshal says that when it comes to bringing in Shmini Atzeres, so if you bring in Shmini Atzeres early, presumably you should, but you shouldn't eat yet at all until it's fully dark. Why not? Because you're going to suffix about what he calls something about the sukkah. He's going to suffix about the bracha. Right? So let's assume for a second now that you're eating in the sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. A very controversial topic, but the purpose of this eating in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. But the practice is, as it says in the Gemara in Sukkah, not to make a bracha on Shmini Atzeres in the Sukkah. So it says in Marshal, if you're going to eat early, what are you going to do? You're going to be all confused. Because on the one hand, you want to make a bracha on the Sukkah, because the Sukkah is light outside in the last day of Sukkah. On the other hand, you don't want to make a bracha because you brought a Shmini Atzeres, so you don't make a bracha on Shmini Atzeres. So what do you do? You're going to be all confused. Therefore, it says the Mashal, you can't eat then. You have to wait until after dark. And the Taz says, what are you worried about? You brought in Shmini Atzeres, so it's Shmini Atzeres. So you follow Shmini Atzeres rules. You don't have to worry that there's a confusion here. It's half Sukkot, half Shmini Atzeres. They're all mixed up together. It's not Sukkot anymore. It's Shmini Atzeres.
Because of course, the issue with that is that, you know, when it comes to bringing in Shabbos, they don't go early normally. Mm-hmm. You're accepting the Nishami Atzeres early. I want to accept Shabbos and Pani early, but the issue is special value Shmini Atzeres being the eighth day, which it clearly isn't until the new day actually begins. If I start Shabbos early, I'm starting Shabbos early, but I'm not starting the seventh day early. I'm not starting the seventh day of the week early. It's Shabbos.
That's arguable. I mean, you could say that. You could say Shabbos is fine by the seventh day.
It's clearly still Friday.
Still Friday and Shabbos at the same time.
Right.
Right.
You can still keep Shabbos until Tuesday, basically. You know, there's a lot like that. So Shmini Atzeres, I can turn the Yom Kippur early, but it's still not Shmini Atzeres. And on that particular holiday,
so
it's
how
a
you
special
define,
life that day.
Right. So you're dividing the definition of the Yom Kippur from the concept of Chag. You know,
right.
But it's a kind of ambiguous Chag that doesn't have its title until the day starts.
Right.
Which is an interesting idea, which is not unprecedented. There's some Achronim who say that, by the way. They mention an idea like that here. They also say, at the point you said before about Yontif, that they married during Tosafos Yontif. So they suggest maybe certain aspects you bring in early, more ambiguous Yontif aspects, and maybe certain specific things don't come in. So you do find such a field, and it's an interesting area of the discussion. We'll have to see if we can give a little more time to analyzing what that is.
Right, can you bring in any holiday early, which you can also do earlier? You can't pass out because you have to stay there.
Right.
Shavuos you can, because it has to be full.
Well, Shavuos will come back. Shavuos will come back.
I think you can even have a basically a rise between the circuit, so there's never really a situation where you can eat early.
Possibly there. So, yeah, and the last day is Pesach. And we'll maybe have time to explore that distinction a little bit. Lost track of who's up first here.
So, and maybe you should have anything on the Kedusha of Sukkot?
Doesn't seem to be. It seems to be that the Kedusha of Lantus is more than the Kedusha of Olamode, which would be. So that's going to win. Other times we get a little more confused. Might be up.
Okay.
Yes.
This morning, the Kedusha of Sukkot starts in the fact that
but that's what Yehuda was saying. It's interesting, you find that logic more by Shulis. Shmini Atzeres seems to be just the name more than the essence, especially because the whole thing you learn for it tends to be the name. So I don't know how much it has to compromise the bringing in early. See, the question you're talking about with a separate Yantif for now? Right, so that's the Gemara.
It's definitely separate.
Well, it's not so much. The Gemara has a machlokus about it, and the Gemara says the Shmini regular thing atzmo, and then it says for these six purposes, one of them being the shachianu, a pezer kesef. That's one of the six reasons why it's separate. Whether that means absolutely separate or not is subject to some discussion. Okay, so that's what bothered the Maharshal about bringing the Shmini Atzeres early, and the Taz says no problem. According to me, it's the same to me. Taz is saying this by through the Shabbos. You can bring in Shabbos early because it's fully Shabbos, and you can bring in Shmini Atzeres, and it's fully Shmini Atzeres. I'm telling you, you're confused that you think it's a little bit Shmini Atzeres, a little bit Sukkot. No, it's fully Shmini Atzeres, just like it's fully Shabbos, and no problem. Commented that Gemara says that when it rains on Sukkot, which is last year, big time, first night, when it rains on Sukkot, some type of a simmer rub. Like God's saying, not interested in your mitzvahs, you're losing your opportunity. When it rains on Shmini Atzeres, you can fighting sometimes, right? Sometimes within families, the different practices, different attitudes about sitting in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. So if it rains on Shmini Atzeres, no one sits in the Sukkah. It's all my focus. So that's a big milo for raining. So if you think about it, it also takes away this makloka. Presumably, if it was raining at night, the Shmini Atzeres. So then the Maharshal has no reason to object when you're eating. Because the whole problem was whether or not to make a bracha on the Sukkah. If you eat inside anyway, so then you probably would actually eat too. So the whole makloka's in general, about whether you can circle or not, would fall away in its raining. But even if you agree you need to circle, so this machlokus between the Taz and the Marshal presumably wouldn't be relevant if it was raining and you couldn't even circle anymore. Just a color about raining and circle. Okay, so this, now we see the Taz showing up so far twice. In his Taz and the Marshal, with Shitasim, they're consistent with their views. So far, twice. There's a third Taz, which also seems to reflect this, and Yehuda alluded to it a moment ago. There is a widespread minhag of Kal Yisrael, I should say Kal, a widespread minhag of Yisrael, not to begin Shavuos early. And why is it that that's the practice? So the most common explanation is the way the Magen Avraham and the Taz say, and Yehuda and Sanders used to allude to, that it has to do with sphere. And since the Torah says, Shabbat Shabbosos Tmimos, that we should have 7 complete weeks, so therefore we're afraid that if we bring Shavuos early, we're cutting the process of Sphere HaOmer short, we don't have 7 complete weeks anymore. So in order to get our full sphere, we have to wait till it's over to have Shavuos. So if you think about it, well, that's right. That's for sure the mashma. But they're more interested in the other implication. That it's weird that it affects the tzimus. Sorry? Yeah, because if you're telling me, like let's say the Marshal, if you're telling me that what does Tosefis mean, it means you abstain from malacha for a half hour before you enter the Shabbos. So how in the world does that affect my sphere? So it's the din that sphere has to be 7 full weeks in which the end of the time you're still doing malach at the last minute. There's no reason to think of any kind of connection. The only way to see it at all, like this could affect my sphere, is if it's about chopping off the day.
I mean, if you really believe the most extent of change of the day, there's no clear to have 20 full weeks or life. And that's how you just drive over, you drive further west and your day is shorter, you don't have the gun in your tzimus.
Right, so your point is well taken that even according
even
to the Taz,
you need to still say more moderate.
Right, so you're saying even according to the Taz, it's a little bit of a stretch. So that that's really a problem, which itself is a belief, but certainly according to the Marshal, you don't even begin the conversation. You can only begin the conversation if you take a fundamental happening to the day. That you still need to explain a little bit.
Because even if, I mean, you could say from the Marshal perspective that there's some you're in Pogaya in the day, the fact that the day is not changing. The further away you take from the extreme designation approach would be more of an issue of saying to you, because then you're actually affecting the day that's still the status of the day. If I'm cutting the day short, actually,
it's
then
worse for that?
I mean, you could say it's easier to say you can actually cut the day as long as you end the day. Whereas if you're saying that this is quasi-day, quasi-nap, kind of like a Marshal approach, then it's much more vital to me because it's still really before you end the day.
Wow. That's a good issue. That's not what you're seeing. And the Pasha of Marshal is not even saying quasi. Marshal is saying that you're pretending, basically. Since you're basically pretending, okay, you're going to think from Malacha. So abstaining from Malacha is not doesn't seem to have any effect on the sphere. If you're saying that you're really talking about some type of amorphous mix, then so that, okay, that somehow shares my idea of Shavuos. That's an interesting approach. I don't really ground in Marshal to say that. It's an interesting idea. Hi.
Even according to the Marshal, you're going to be dominating early.
If, so that's part of the question. So is he part of the question when it comes to Shavuos? there's a whole range of views as to what it is you shouldn't do early, but it's possible some of the Torah say that you shouldn't daven ma'ariv early. This becomes the most matnah with everything we've seen so far in terms of the chumras by Pesach or by Shmini Atzeres or by Sukkot Shabbos. None of them say you can't daven early. Shavuos is a chiddush now. This is the most matnah today. Maybe you can't even daven ma'ariv early. So that's the status of question.
Say these last things like the term says food pot, so that would be bad, right? Gathering during the day, so would that be a problem?
So if you're attempting to bring shavuos, possibly, and you kind of have to bring shavuos when you're gathering the that night. So that would probably be an exception, which is part of the whole chumra here, that every other day in the year, you can bring in the matter before dark, and maybe shavuos now. So that prompts the whole question, because this is the idea that you shouldn't do it. That's an idea that we find in the Rishonim and the Gemara.
So that's a troubling concept, because
otherwise, without this, it sounds like it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to start you with early.
So because the Achronim came up with this chumra,
so we're going to move back to a mitzvah d'oraisa.
So how do we get away with this?
So it's not so clear. There is an approach, which is shown both in others, and you came. That maybe Shavuos is unique. It relates a little bit to what you were saying about Shmini Atzeres. So maybe Shavuos is unique because there's no date in the Torah. And in the Zman when they were Mekadosh Shalpi Ariya, when we used to have variable months, so Shavuos could be any of three different days. So what defines when Shavuos is?
Sfira being over.
So it's a unique type of structure that in order for Shavuos to begin, Sfira has to end. Which leads to the fascinating view of Rabbi Trevi, which Tavi was alluding to a minute ago and didn't want to get into. That the whole discussion, if you cross the international date line and end up missing a day from where people you started with are counting. So Rabbi Trevi held, you count your own Sfira because you swipe and walk out. And actually held, I believe he told this is the practice of Babich, that you hold your own Shavuos. Your Shavuos is defined by finishing spirits. So tell the Kashif. Yeah, it's quite a thing. So, one experiment that you have to do. Babich didn't play with international dateline at the right time.
Sorry? Guys are all over the world anyway.
Right. It's a complicated experiment to try to pull off and see if it works. But
if you're the guy that might get supposed to do it.
Right, you also have it. So, in any event.
How does everyone else start?
Sorry?
How does
everyone else start? Oh, so there's a question, right? How do you deal with international day when it's Shavuos? It's itself an interesting question. But just this idea that's relevant for our purposes now, that counting Sfira is so tied into the beginning of Shavuos, that if you're counting your own Sfira, that could affect when Shavuos is going to begin, that's a tremendous stitch. So that could perhaps explain the no less tremendous stitch here, that it's so tied into Sfira that you can't start Shavuos until you actually finish Sfira. So it's not shy of maybe to have Tosefes by Shavuos. That's how some explain it. Yes?
Does that continue forever, or is that not just for that year?
Oh, yes, just that year. Yeah, next year you'll be calendar.
Next year.
Yeah, next year you'll be. Yeah, next year you'll count from the beginning. That would really be a pleasure. they'll just go from when your count is off. So in any event, so there are those Achronim who suggest, with Nassim Geshtetner and Meshuga like this, that we could say both true. We could say that as far as the din of Tosefes, let's say, abstaining from Malacha, that applies to Shavuos also. Maybe a half hour before Ma'ariv, we should stop doing well. But declaring Shavuos, so then that will wait until it's fully done. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there's no application of Tosefes to Shavuos. It's also interesting, just to mention quickly, there are a few other explanations of why it is that we don't start early on Shavuos. The Netziv has a whole different approach in his commentary to Chumash. The Netziv suggests, because the Pasuk in Amor says, in relation to Shavuos, the Parasa, the Pasuk is like this, the Parasa and the Etzem Hayom Hazat Mikra Kodesh. So you shall declare the Mikra Kodesh, you shall also make Kiddush, on Shavuos, when? The Etzem. And what does Etzem mean in between? The day itself, right? Not Tosafos. So Netziv suggests that it could mean that the idea of Tosafos, the Shavuos, is not part of when the Mikra Kodesh, the declaration of Kedusha Shavuos, of Kedusha Shavuos, should be made. Whether that's Kiddush or Davening is what's discussed, but that's a possibility as well. Not to mean between the two approaches. I think you said question a second, but not to mean between the two approaches. What about the second night of Shavuos? So, can you daven early the second night? If the issue is cutting off Sphere, so then it doesn't impact the second night. Can you daven early the second day? It's a separate question. Possibly yes. That gets into its own whole host of complexities, but assuming you can account for those, so it would also be affected by this question. I think Daniel's up first.
I was wondering, the Gemara you book says that the Etzem by Yom Kippur does not apply to the Hosafa.
So there is a Hosafa, just there's no Hosafa for Yom Shin.
Right. So say like the Nesim, Joshua, like...
It's not specific to Shul, the Pasuk is about Shul.
It's the same word, so why would the Nesim assume?
The cross of Mikra Kodesh, declaration in Kodesh by Shavuos has to be specifically adapted. So that's the connection of Etzem and the Mikra Kodesh.
But also, you would hear it say that Mikra Kodesh is for the Kiddush, for example, all the Zerasa.
For all the Kiddush, though, for every Etzem?
Well, I'm saying for Shavuos, for example.
Right.
Those Etzem's created, you hold it those Etzem's, it's not just about...
Right, so that works well with the view of those that you mentioned, Moshe Bishet, that would say that you should abstain from the law still, which is not declare Shavuos until it's... actually, Shavuos. Correct. I should also mention a third interesting view. Okay, yes, insight.
Just because of the second, don't we assume that you should always do the same thing in the second day of the first day, since there's a view of something new,
so
therefore...
So if that would be the question. The question is, if it's inherent to the effort or not. So if it's about that Shavuos has been that the Kiddush has come to the effort or not, so then that would assume it applies all of us. But if it's not really about Shavuos, it's just that we can't cut Sphere early, so then that's a technical issue that it only applies to the first night. So there was another explanation I saw in the safety somewhere that suggested interesting idea. We'll draw on this in a few minutes in a different context, that maybe it has to do with Kriya Shema. The editor start learning tomorrow. The editor start with Shas from the beginning. So the first Afton Brachos is a big hypothesis in Shema about how do we deal with the fact that the Mishnah says that Shema has to be after Tzeisek Havavim, but most shuls daven Ma'ariv before that time. So there are various approaches in Shema. The approach of Rashi, which isn't really what we do, the approach of Rashi is that we're not yotzei in shul, being saying Kriya Shema too early. But it doesn't matter, because when you go to sleep, you say Kriya Shema Lamita, so that counts as Shema. Tosfos gets very upset about that, a whole bunch of issues, not so much for now. But working off that view, some suggested that plan works great every night except Shavuos. Why is that not a good plan, Shavuos, right? He's not going to go to sleep, so Kriya Shema Lamita is not a good backup plan. So maybe the Shavuos have to worry that people aren't going to fulfill Kriya Shema if they daven early, so they have to wait until after dark in order to daven. Fascinating view. It's going to come up again in a few minutes. I just wanted to throw that into the discussion now. Okay, so that essentially gives us three tazes that seem to be the shikasa. And it's a taz that you can start your Shabbos meal early, you can finish your Shabbos meal, you can have all Shabbos meal early. Taz that we don't have to worry about the Shmini Atzeres confusion, and the Taz that you do have to wait on Shavuos, all consistent with the idea that you have actually converted the day. There's a fourth Taz that seems to go in a little bit of a different direction, if you tell me if you disagree. Before getting to it, I'll talk about a related issue. What do you think about the following question? Let's say the following hypothetical.
Friday afternoon.
You bring in Shabbos.
Then you realize maybe you shouldn't bring in Shabbos.
Why not? Because you're still sitting at work in front of your computer in your office about 15 miles from your house.
And it probably was not the best time to bring in Shabbos. You probably should have
turned off your computer and went home and showered first. So you realize it's a mistake. Luckily, in your office building, there's the Beis Din that meets in the floor below. So you can go and do a Taurus and Darden on your Kabbalah Shabbos. Does that work? Ah, exactly, right, Lavush. So Lavush, this is a discussion in Poskim whether or not there is a concept of Hatara for Kabbalah Shabbos, that it's something you can have undone. So Sandy correctly points out that Lavush is one who says there is a concept of Hatara. And others, the Eliyahu, weren't so sure. So does this correlate to our question so far? What do you think? Yo?
If it's there actually had conditions
with
that, then it
wouldn't. I agree with you. I think that it's less likely, it's not an absolute correlation, but it's less likely to fit. If you believe Shabbos has really started, then it sounds like you're trying to make a double Shabbos morning because you need to run out to the store. As little as Shabbos, you don't have the ability to end it. But once you've started it, you can't go back on that. Yes?
There is a concept of all the notes.
Correct.
And we'll see if that's the same idea or not. But that's also where you see how that applies. And I figure it's going to modify a little bit.
On the surface, it sounds like if Shabbos has actually begun, it's less likely that that Hatara should work. Yeah. Talk about our nether shwood and they weren't permanent. But in terms of the mashal, what I think you're getting at is that essentially what is Kabbalah Shabbos early? It's really just an agreement not to do laws. So that's essentially a nether of Kabbalah. So you should be able to undo that. So I would have thought that the Taz would be less in the Hatara camp. So it's just interesting. You could wonder how well it fits. Maybe it doesn't. That there is a Taz, which you put in the list also, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, getting to kind of the Yom that in Tav Reish, so the Taz says, talks about a certain sad story, it was this year's situation, just the calendar part, hopefully not the rest of the story, that there was a three-day Rosh Hashanah, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, I think it was this year, and it happened that there was a certain town. Their chauffeur had been stolen. They didn't have a chauffeur for the entire Rosh Hashanah. So they had a terribly depressing Rosh Hashanah. No chauffeur blown, all types of negative injury. You could just imagine they're dashing over some money. What are you going to be like without a chauffeur blown? That's a bad thing to worry. So they're all depressed. And by the end of Rosh Hashanah, they said, Kifler Rosh Hashanah, the kid will sell. Let's get rid of this bad Rosh Hashanah. Let's bring in Shabbos Friday afternoon. They bring in Shabbos. Right after they bring in Shabbos, cavalry shows up, Pony Express, look what we found, here's your missing shoulder. You still be lucky, you still have a half hour left in Rosh Hashanah, blow the shoulder. What do you do? And it's not just a question of, if Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos, there's no shoulder, but it's not just that, but it's that you basically moved to now the day after Rosh Hashanah. So it's not just you brought in Shabbos, but you presumably moved to the day after Rosh Hashanah, but there's no shoulder anyway. So that's the discussion that Taz has. And there he comes out that you should blow. So he says that this Kabbalah, as Andy alluded to before, is a toast, it's a mistake, we would never have made such a Kabbalah thing. Happen, and we're not sure we would let them make such a Kabbalah if they knew, because what right do they have to remove themselves from the Chiyuv Mitzvah in this way? So the whole thing's a mistake, it's undone, they blow the shoulder. So it's a little bit surprising it might have been Tasmanian view so far. The Taz himself says, don't be surprised, I'm contradicting myself. What he's talking about contradicting himself, he says, in terms of Shmini Atzeres. But I said, no problem bringing Shmini Atzeres early and giving up the bracha on the sukkah, essentially saying you can take yourself out of the mitzvah of sukkah. And now I'm saying you can't take yourself out of the mitzvah of shofar. Don't think that's a contradiction, because, and we're talking about, I don't even think it's a contradiction, sorry. That's basically the point. So the Taz says, that when it comes to sukkah, I'm not taking you out of the mitzvah of kiyubis, it's just an optional mitzvah you could add. And when it comes to shofar, here we're saying to be mevatel shofar completely, that is a much bigger deal, and therefore I think that's an objective Kabbalah batos, and it's not going to be good. There is a fascinating tshuva from the Tziv, which ties in very strongly to what we've been talking about. Even though he takes a different approach to the issue. And the Siddha has a tshuva, if you want to look it up, it's in the tshuva Smesha of Dover, in Yeridea, Simenai Gimel. It discusses the following scenario. So let's say you have a woman who lights candles for yantif. And in doing so, therefore, essentially brings in yantif early. Say an hour before yantif. Right after she does that, she gets a telegram that one of her relatives has died and has been buried already. Funeral already happened. Funeral happened that morning. So what should she do? See, normally, if you start Shiva before Yantif, so then, if you sleep for an hour, whatever it is, Yantif comes and cancels it, and that's it. Shiva's over. It's an hour long. If can't start Shiva before Yantif, let's say it's a Kavura on Kalamali or something. So then it waits however many days until the end of Yantif. And then there's a full Shiva afterwards. Full 6-7 days, depending on the Kami Yantif Shani, but then basically a full Shiva afterwards. So that's a very big difference. So what is her status? Do we assume that she brought in Yantif? So now it's 6 yantif, so there's no available. So she waits until after yantif and has a full shiva. Or we say no, it's not really yantif. Simcha's yantif has not come in. She's just abstaining from malacha. So she can sit shiva now, and half hour from now yantif will come in and that will cancel the shiva and it'll be over. Very good. So it seems that this really correlates very strongly with what we've discussed so far, particularly the 2 days of Ksubis, 2 days of Tosis and Ksubis, about getting married during that time. This would seem to be the flip side of that issue. Happens to be that Nesiv discusses it more in light of what we just mentioned, the question of whether it can be undone. That he works off the assumption, which might be arguable from the emotional perspective, but he works off the assumption that this woman would rather be sitting Shiva now, have it end, and then move on. So if that's the case, so then her initial Kabbalah of Shaviyantit was a mistake. So therefore, he assumes it should be able to be undone. So that's somewhat of a debatable discussion, but it seems to reflect various elements of what we see. We're running out of time, so I'm going to quickly get a few more points. Maybe say half a word about how to do it. There is a major elephant in the room that you should be aware of, and that has to do with Kiddush. You would think, if we're talking all this time about mitzvos, positive mitzvos in the day, can they be fulfilled during the time of those efforts? So the first one that probably comes to mind, what about Kiddush? Can you make Kiddush during the time of those efforts? So we've avoided that question this whole time. We talked about all the side issues, the less relevant, the less frequent questions. So what about the question of making kiddush? So the reason it's not discussed in the same way is because the Gemara says the Pharisee can make kiddush while it's the light outside. And the Shaila is, right, so the Shaila is, what does that do for those views that say that you can't, that Shabbos Yontif is not fully started. Right? If you believe it's not fully Shabbos Yontif, how is it that you can make Kiddush? And especially the Rambam. What does the Rambam do with this? If the Rambam doesn't believe in the Shabbos at all, he's really got a problem with him. But even if he believes in it, the Rabbanan, still not so simple. Because Kiddush is a mitzvah minat Torah. So how do we fulfill a mitzvah minat Torah in a time that's only Shabbos Rabbanan, in fact? So this is a huge discussion. And maybe we'll get to Kiddush more, we'll say a little bit more about it. We should be aware, as far as this, that it's an issue. There are various approaches. Rav Schechter mentioned an approach based on something from the Rav, which he expanded upon. That there is a machlokas, to put this on the Marma Tomos, there is a machlokas about whether or not women are obligated to shalosh shudas. 2 days from showing whether or not women are obligated to shalosh shudas. What are the two views? Yes. And yes. They're both yes and yes. Raman and Ben Tam. Two different reasons why. And according to the Ben Tam, it's because Achen Hayyubosu on Nes, that to the Shabbos is about the Nes of the man, and women are involved in that as well. And the Ran understands because the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf, which says women are obligated in Kiddush, I was talking about that a little bit last Thursday, women are obligated in Kiddush because Zachar and Shamar are linked, are in the Hekesh. So whoever is obligated in Shmira Shabbos and not doing Malacha is obligated in Zahira Shabbos, which means Kiddush according to the Gemara. And says the Ran apparently means all of the mitzvos I say of Shabbos. Shabbos is a package deal. So the Ran essentially says Shabbos is a package deal, so women are obligated in everything. And apparently Rebbein Tam doesn't think so. Apparently Rebbein Tam thinks the Gemara is only linking Kiddush and Mulatos. And therefore Suda Shabbos needs a different source. How can how you go to Solomon? It happens to be that Shulman Kluger held that this is like a Western rodeo, so the two Rishonim shot each other for no reason. So women are essentially putter from Shal Shiddas. Not to say that the children already said they don't think that's true at all. If all the Rishonim agree that women are Hayav, so they're Hayav, but the fact that they have different reasons doesn't leave them putter. So in any event, what we're interested in now is that the view of the Ran seems to be more intuitive. Right? To say that Shabbos is a package deal. You can hear that. To specifically link just Kiddush and the Malachos, why should we do that? So, Shechter went on to explain, based on the Rav, that the Rav made the following point. The Rambam has a Kiddush and Hilchos Mukhsar. Why is it that there's a prohibition to move items a certain way on Shabbos? So the Rambam has three reasons. None of which are the Gemara's reasons. The right has the Gemara's reasons. Rambam has three reasons. One of the Rambam's three reasons is that we're afraid it won't be clear that it's Shabbos. That maybe you have somebody who doesn't work on Shabbos because he's lazy. Doesn't have anything to do. The Rav was once interviewed by the commentator, obviously many, many years ago. He said that when he first came to Boston many decades ago, said there were very few people who didn't work on Shabbos. And the ones who didn't work on Shabbos, it's usually because they were octogenarians, they didn't work all week long. So if you don't know what that word means, we think this is a special religion, octogenarians, where you have octo, meaning you have 7 days off, plus another day for the whole concept, so you have 8 days off, and not from the world. So octogenarians are people in their 80s, people who were retired. So people who retired who were working, they didn't work on Shabbos either. Anywhere you work, worked on Shabbos as well. So what he was saying, anyway, he was saying very few people who weren't doing Malacha. So what the Rambam is basically saying is that it could be somebody doesn't do Malacha, he doesn't know what to do. So therefore, we need to make Shabbos visually different somehow. And if you're carrying things in an awkward way, you're avoiding certain normal movements in terms of Hilchos Matzah, that will make it a Shvisa HaNikaretz, that will make it clear that it is a concept of intentional Shvisa on Shabbos. So therefore, I wanted to explain that the purpose of Kiddush, connecting it to the Malachos, is a way of announcing that you're going to abstain from malachos. Not because you have no malachos to do. You have malachos to do. Okay? If you don't have malachos to do, that's not the reason why you're going to abstain on Saturday. You're going to abstain because of Kedusha Shabbos. So essentially, it's a declaration about the purpose of why you're going to be abstaining from malachos. So if that's the case, that's thematically the explanation. If that's the case, so Kiddush doesn't actually have to be it on Shabbos. Kiddush is an announcement that's close to Shabbos, could theoretically be right before Shabbos as well, which is the Buddhist language of Rambam. The Rambam doesn't obligate, simple answer, the Rambam doesn't obligate Kiddush to be on Shabbos. Kiddush can be right before Shabbos as an announcement that that's what's going on. You'll have all kinds of other technical issues, but theoretically, Kiddush could be done before Shabbos, so it's not necessarily a problem for the Rambam, who has to deal with the Gemara that says Kiddush can be done when it's still light outside, and yet not necessarily acknowledge that Shabbos begins at that time. So, much, much more to say about this, but we're running out of time. We don't have a second concentration today on the various Tuesday issues. So I'll just want to mention one point particularly relevant to Rosh Hashanah. So when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, there is some discussion about whether you can start Rosh Hashanah early. That some quote the Maharil as being opposed to bringing Rosh Hashanah in early. So if you look at the Maharil design, and actually you can do my own if anybody wants to see it, that the Maharil doesn't actually say that. The Maharil quotes someone who says that you shouldn't make Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah early because we're expanding Yom HaDin. And you don't want to do that. Which is a fascinating concept on many levels. So in terms of the Maharil itself, first of all, it's not clear that the Maharil agrees with this view. It's not clear that he endorses it. But also, even within this view, they're davening early. It's just Kiddush he's saying to do it. And Maharil expresses he doesn't understand why the Kiddush is more of an issue with Yom HaDin in terms of bringing it in than davening. Discussing the theory why that might be, but it's a difficult point to start with. That's a fascinating idea that very much impacts or draws on what we've seen so far. Is that true that you're extending Yom HaDin by starting early? And what's so terrible about that? Then you didn't do worse because you're doing that. It seems to me the idea is shikla chutzpah. And that's what you're saying, you show up early for judgment, you're so confident that you've done everything perfectly, so you want to get judged ahead of time. Maybe there's some type of a choice involved. But it's quite a stretch, perhaps, to say that the din is brought in earlier, especially because we don't assume the din happening at night anyway. The din's happening during the morning, so it's not clear how extending the yom in which the din takes place is going to affect the din. So it's a little bit of a difficult idea. It doesn't necessarily seem to have so much of an impact on halacha. But Joseph Engel, again, in his Gilyone HaShas, commentary on Shas, so he refers to this idea, and he assumes that Maharil doesn't meet all the exceptions at all, just minimizes it, and we don't find that having such an impact in terms of not davening early, which again, depending on what Maharil says, really. But Rav Harfinis has an interesting suggestion that she rejects, and the Tshuva is so much a shaman, that maybe we mentioned before, so it's a whole shaila how we can daven early before dark in terms of creation. Maybe all year round, okay, we deal with it. We daven early and we say Kriya Shema later and we figure it out. But Rosh Hashanah, maybe we want to be more machmir during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we take on all kinds of chumras. So maybe starting Rosh Hashanah, we don't want to rely on that. But that would mean we'd apply every night. And also, that's itself a kiddush to say that if you bring Rosh Hashanah in early, you're starting the Aseret Yemei Teshuva early. There's also somewhat of a building on this idea. Fascinating idea just to think about. We have 90 seconds left. So I just want to tell you, in regards to how we know the Shabbos, fascinating part, it's a shame we can't really talk about it. You should just be aware that the Gemara said that the Hanvino is special because the Aliyos have to be done in a certain way, which have the Rosh Hashanah Hazir block. And that would be helpful, except for the fact that it's pointed out, from the Parashios, points out, there are six different views that we've shown him how to count Hazir block. Tukim that come out spelling Rosh Hashanah, six different ways to count this. Okay, so we have our Masorah, how you do it. And so Rav Eitchik tells us that the din during the week as well. The din in Kriya Tiksava, and the Torah has to be read the way the Tukim are written. And this is in the Sivas Parshas HaZinu. Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Targum Das, suggested that the imagery of Haziv Lach, Haziv means Hagar, the same idea, something that shines, and when it comes to Esro, so the Gemara has that Rasha, creates Hadar. Hadar means beautiful, but it could also be read Hadar, that which lives. Hadar on the tree, Mishana Lashana, that it survives the whole year cycle and is still able to exist on the tree. And he suggests, Al Piderech Hadrosh, that's also the relevance idea of the Jewish people, that they're here after all these years. Whatever happens, they still survive, they still persevere. It's an important message to look to in the year. I wish everyone a Kesiva Maksim Tova. The Ezra Hashem will be back here on Sunday, so I'll be able to talk a little bit about some of the new paper, and then towards the week, look towards the Sidya of Akhi Shreya. I won't have a fantastic end. Nechimle, Rafa Lamazin.
What I did was based on the Shofir on Shabbos.
Which idea was on that?
This last idea.
That the Gemara talks about that concept. The Gemara brings it up, talking about that. He said it has to do with Okay, we'll see you on Monday. Have a fantastic Sivatova. Chef is running the high school program.
See your brother, actually.